You're listening to Run, R-U-N, Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. As pastor of the Smithton Outpouring and the Kansas City Revival, Steve is a leading voice of revival worldwide. Steve shares his life-changing encounters with God, along with biblical teaching that equips you to experience and lead lasting revival. Come, run with Steve and expect God to revive us now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Revive Us Now. I am your host, Steve Gray, and I've got two Franks with me today, both of them named Frank, and we're going to talk to them about revival, about the condition of our country, of our church. But right now, I want to tell you, we're going to talk about, is there another Jesus? Some people are talking like there's another Jesus, and Paul talked about it in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, some are preaching another Jesus, a different Jesus than the one Paul preached. And I'm concerned about it, that there's another Jesus being preached today, even though there isn't another Jesus. But is one being preached today? I think it might be true. A different Jesus than the one Paul is preaching. Now, let me tell you something. The people that are preaching it are not sinful people. They're not bad people. They're not heretics. I don't want you to go out and think that I'm saying these are all bad people and they're bad churches. They're good churches. And you know what? They're good people. They're sincere, in my opinion. There are a lot of sincere, good, great preachers really trying to help people. It's that they just in themselves have not heard the gospel, the true Jesus preached to them. Mm-hmm. They're only preaching what our culture has taught them, because they grew up in humanism, the me-ism. It's all about me, self-centeredness, take care of yourself. And so not knowing any better, it's sort of, in fact, it's almost Sigmund Freud more than Jesus Christ. Just group, all about me. It's not my fault. I got to blame somebody. All these kinds of things. And so sincere people go in and they think, well, I'm going to help people. I want to help people. So I'll just help them understand themselves. And so rather than understand Jesus, we start talking about understanding ourselves. And so we preach it and preach it and preach it, and it becomes another Jesus, not the one that Paul preached. And I call it, guys, I call it the commercialized Jesus, right? Because it sells, it attracts. People like to talk about their favorite subject to themselves. And it's the popular Jesus, but like I said, it's not really the one that Jesus preaches. We know Jesus, he talked about himself and said, I am, and I'm the only way. And I mentioned to you, Frank, I think it was yesterday when we were visiting a little bit. And Jesus, when he talked, he basically talked about himself and said, I'm it. Follow me, because I'm the way. It's all about him. And yet today's preaching is all about us. Yeah. Now, Frank, you travel all over the country, have for years. I've known this Frank for over 30 years, and you're traveling all over the country. What do you see, and what's your concerns? I mean, there's good and bad. What do you see?
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's what you have been kind of laying out here for us, and that is, I say it almost identical how you say it, but maybe from a little different angle, that the American gospel now has become really man-centered. Mm-hmm. It's man-centered, need-orientated, and entertainment-based.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the ministries, that's how they have built their church, especially on the man-centered, need-orientated, and entertainment-based. They're not into to preaching the gospel, what Jesus preached. And yeah, he did preach about himself. He did talk about himself. But at the same time, he was the life. He was the way.
Yes.
He was the truth. And so I think that has become a real big problem. And what that has produced, and as you say, it's not, we're not calling it, sinners, but what we have done is we have created a congregation, we have created the church that is all about being victims. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing about being victorious. we are a victim, and so I cannot live victorious because it's I'm a victim, and I am the way that I am because of what someone else has done to me, or I didn't have this particular opportunity that somebody else had. And so it's kind of like what we see in the book of Revelation, where their confession was that we are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, no, that's not how I see it. He said, you are wretched and poor and naked. And that's kind of where we're at. And what I feel about where he talks about being naked, it means they're still a baby. They haven't grown up yet. And we see a lot of that in the church today, and we really need a really Holy Ghost move of God where the fire of God falls. Revival is what our churches need, being around this kind of environment is what so many of our young ministers need in this hour.
Do you feel like some of the preaching today is okay as it starts out? Like it's sort of like therapeutic. It's a little bit of therapeutic and therapy, which is maybe okay when you start out. You kind of figure out what went wrong in your life and kind of encourage it along. But somewhere, it needs to be transforming.
Right.
You feel that
you,
way?
You can't live off of that.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, the milk has to give way to something else.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, it has to give way to the meat, which is the Word of God, which really is what transforms and changes our life. And that's what made Jesus different. You know, he could talk about himself, but yet at the same time, he knew what it meant for lives to be transformed and to be changed. And it's only transformed and changed by the Word of God and the power of God. And so if we can get away from this, you know, it's everybody else's fault because I'm where I am at. If we could ever get off of that, and we will, you know, we will. I believe that we will. We're going to see a revival. We're going to see a move of God. I'm really convinced that because there are those churches that are hungry for God. They are desperate for God, like we were years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think, and my hope is that people get tired of talking about themselves and get tired of. They're all talking about their feelings a little bit and realize I'm not changing. I'm just continually going in circles.
Yeah.
And you know, I've said before, the self is never satisfied.
Right.
You know, if you get on yourself and talk about yourself, you never get enough of yourself.
Right.
You just can, it just goes and goes and goes. And you know, probably, you know, the hardest thing that I've found as a preacher over the years of when you get maybe criticized or people say, is that really Jesus? Oh, that doesn't sound like love to me. But right in this same passage, Paul said, I am concerned that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, that you, and he's talking to the church folks here, he says that you will be led astray from a pure and sincere devotion to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's where you cross that line is where, you, in my opinion, is where you stop talking about yourself and you stop talking about, come on, just try a little harder, go a little farther, and you go to, it's time to be devoted to this man, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And all of a sudden you go, like, what? I didn't come to church to be devoted to another person. I came to be devoted to me.
Right.
I came to hear about me. I just came to be encouraged about me. And all of a sudden, like, is this Jesus? Well, it is, because that's what this Bible's about. Eventually, it's got to turn to the, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the gate, I am the door,
right.
I am the, you know, I am.
I am.
And that's what we're trying to say, and not, like I said, not to be critical. And like I said, I would love some of the preachers that are around that are sincerely preaching, sincerely seeking, to just get this simple message. They need to have the same thing. They need to just experience the man, Jesus Christ, and just start turning this thing, realizing the same thing. Okay, it's good. New believers, it's good. But start turning this thing towards the man, Jesus. And they need to have revival, too.
And it can happen.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we believe it. Yeah, we know it.
It can happen. And just a hunger for the man, Jesus, for the presence of God, for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Well, down at the end, I got another, Frank. And maybe we'll start with your book, The Fire That Once Was, if you want to hold it up. And I asked him, Frank DePetro, I wanted to say it right.
DePetro?
I didn't say it right. I told him I was going to get it wrong. And you know how many years I've known this man.
Yeah.
DePetro, he said like two E's.
My wife still gets it wrong.
DePetro, well, that makes me feel better. He's got the book, The Fire That Once Was, and I read it when it first came out. And it's a, I don't know, it's a chronicle book, a chronicle of revivals, right?
Right.
Is that the best way to say
personal
it?
Personal revival and corporate revival, and many of the folks now that have are in the publishing field have called it a revival classic now.
Yeah, that's people have picked up on it. You can get that on Amazon.com, and you should if you're hungry for a revival and you want to know about revivals in the past and just understanding revivals. You should get it. I've read parts of it, and it's very inspiring. And you know, in the early days of before we had ever experienced revivals like the Smith and Outpouring or others, I would take accounts of revival and just read them to our congregation just to get the hunger going. And that's a great, great book for that. Well, today, as we see our country, you know, I watched some of the news today, and they were talking about how many people were shot. I won't say which city, how many people were shot in one city. Crime is up, and the concerned about immigration and crime and COVID and just all kinds, just full of stuff, and where's the country going, what's going to happen and all that. And it could get pretty discouraging that things are looking pretty bad. And then, as we just said, even sincere preachers of the gospel have kind of led us into ourselves, not because they wanted to, but because that's what they grew up on, and they're preaching the only thing they know, the only Jesus they know, and it's really another Jesus. It's not the Jesus Paul preached. So you could get pretty discouraged. Can you just think of a time when our country or another country, it looked bad? I mean, maybe there were drugs or drunkenness or crime today, and yet God broke through. Anything come to your mind?
Let's take just our country alone, and I'll be real fast. There's two of them. One had to do with our personal hunger for God, and the other was the financial lack of hunger for God. But as a matter of fact, we are about a month away from the 220th anniversary of America's Pentecost, which many call the Cane Ridge Revival. A lot of theologians call it America's Pentecost, but the country at that time was in such a deep, as they called, Egyptian darkness. I mean, we had been just through the Revolutionary War. Freedom was on the minds. The First Great Awakening, the fire from that First Great Awakening has waned. And in 1800, the Cumberland Valley in Kentucky was considered one of the most despicable places you could ever live in. Crime was rampant. Murder was rampant. Horse thievery was rampant. Immorality. God was nowhere in their lives. From the rising of the sun to the going down, he never even crossed their minds. The heavy population areas in America were filled with deism and universalism and so many other aspects of degradation that just covered the country. But God always has his remnant. And these people prayed, and they said, God, we need a change in our country, or else America will die. And it would have. But God, so faithful, into the Cumberland Valley, he sent five men, and they were known the five wild men of the Cumberland. And they just exploded. And by 1801, you had the Cane Ridge Revival, which birthed the Second Great Awakening, which was one of the most powerful awakenings in America at that time. And 25,000 people outside were touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. God changed not only their lifestyle, but he changed the whole bent of the nation. Then in 1857, right before the Great Prayer Revival erupted, America was in one of the most financial deep holes it's ever been in. The railroads went bankrupt. The insurance companies went bankrupt. The banks had no money. Murder was increasing by 40%. Suicides increased by 60%. Children were just left out in the cold. Mobs of people were just living in the city streets. And yet God, out of four men at Fulton Street prayer meeting, out of four men started praying. And the next thing you know, within 2 months, 3 months, they had to rent the theaters in the area to hold the Great Prayer Revival. It wasn't an evangelist, wasn't a congregation, wasn't a church. It was just the Holy Spirit exploding with Holy Ghost power. Wow. And that's what the church needs now. It needs Holy Ghost power. An endowment of power from God. A fire from God that changes the heart. empowers the church and attracts the lost, and that's what God does. So to me, when you take both those and put them together, that's where America is today. And the exciting part about it, I'm always on the edge of my seat. Every day I wake up and say, God, is this the day? Like back in the New Testament, they always woke up and say, is this the day God's going to come? I say, is this the day revival is going to break out? Because everything is perfect. I know to the world, the kingdom of darkness, it's, oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But on the kingdom of heaven, it's advancing violently. And the violent are taking it by force. And that's what's so exciting, I think, about today. I don't think about the pandemic. I think I'm looking at the fact of where America is now. It is broken. The gods that America worshiped, the gods of entertainment, the gods of finances, businesses are going out of business. Entertainment was just nowhere. Hobbies were nowhere last year. You couldn't do anything. So their gods have been cast down. And the only God that is alive now is the God of salvation.
That's right. And we're going to keep praying, right? Amen. And I know, Frank, what do you got to say? We're not being critical. We're right. Being encouraging. Yes.
That's right. That's exactly right. That it is as Frank just said, it is a season and it is a time that God really is about to move in such a glorious and powerful way. And you can get to be a part of it. That's why it's so exciting.
That's right. So you pray for yourself. Right. You pray for your pastor. If you're a leader of any sort, youth group leader, whatever, you continue to pray that we'll all wake up and say, all we got to do is shift our attention off of ourselves and get us on this man, Jesus. Because he's the one that's going to bring restoration and revival to us, our homes, and our country. So we continue to pray, oh Lord, rend the heavens come down. Until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. Push the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And spread the word on social media. For more episodes and resources, go to reviveusnowpodcast.com. Until next time, keep on running for revival.